agenda and wanted to discuss these items with council, hear your feedback, get some direction, and let you know what staff is recommending. There was some information contained in this week's packet, and I will read parts of the memo, and then we will talk about the contracting for planning services first and then sign ordinance next. As you know, in this year's budget, FY 2016, there were funds secured for hiring consulting firm to assist the county with initiatives generally associated with planning and zoning and our land use authority. Such initiatives we have recently discussed include the carrying capacity study, the county sign ordinance, sidewalks, the reclassification of the county's commercial zoning categories, and others. Further out, we will need to start our work on the update to the comprehensive plan. My intent is to solicit bids from qualified planning consultants immediately through a formal request for proposal process, RFP process. We're going to use the RFP process very similar to what the engineering department uses when they select engineering consultants. We'll require the submission of a significant packet of information and a formal interview process with a committee consisting of county staff and a county attorney. More than one firm may be qualified and may be selected. Ultimately, the selection will come before this county council for your consideration and approval. The RFP process, which we've developed and mirrored through the engineering services RFP, includes evaluation criteria that would consider experience and reputation, expertise, including the expertise on issues unique to Sussex County, capacity to perform, in other words, completing the work in necessary time frame, their credentials and experience, the qualifications of their staff, including their certifications, familiarity with public work and working for the government, and its requirements, as demonstrated with prior work for public entities, and location, the proximity to which they are located in Sussex County or in Delaware. Because there's money in the budget, and the budget takes effect tomorrow, and the budget's been approved, we can release this RFP as soon as it clears the staff review hurdles, which we are pretty close to accomplishing.
Are we going to call it the George Cole study? I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Will you please move your mic forward, Mrs. Deaver?
Never mind.
what I envision is to interview and select these consultants so that we have them quote, on a retainer, although they won't pay a retainer. They'll be paid simply for services. But they will be utilized to help us usher through some of this work. Some of the work, I believe, would help our current P&Z staff as well as our legal staff get through some of these processes that the council has asked us to review, meaning they'll actually provide the work that needs to get done and get done in a timely manner. The P&Z staff currently is facing a pretty significant workload as we speak without adding anything new to it. I know that this current council has discussed at length some of these issues, including the carrying capacity, and we have things that come up like the sign ordinance, which we'll discuss at a later date, and then easier things like the reclassification of our commercial zone, something that you've discussed, and I think that we have support in expanding the reclassification of the current county commercial zone. A pretty, I think, straightforward process. Again, any firm that gets selected will be approved by the five of you based on the recommendation from the committee. The committee will consist of myself, Mrs. Jennings, Mrs. Andrea Wall, Mr. Lawrence Lank, and Janelle Cornwell, and one of our county attorneys. Mm-hmm. Any questions about this proposal?
I just have a thank you to Mr. Cole for suggesting this capacity study. That was what my comment was about.
You're welcome.
Once we make the selection, and again, I'm hopeful that this takes place in a matter of weeks, and we're back in front of you sometime this summer, at the end of the summer, to make this the official approval process. Then we will come back and seek your guidance on such things as the carrying capacity study. What would that look like? What items would you like to have reviewed? I think if we jump into the sign ordinance, we probably have a workshop with stakeholders and get your feedback on that. And the consultant can hear that and frame up where we should go with a rewrite of the sign ordinance, if that's in fact what you all choose to do. So this first step is simply selecting the consultant, and the next step will also gain guidance from you, Planning and Zoning Commission, members of staff, and stakeholders in the community.
Mm-hmm. Got one question, Mr. President.
Cole?
Campgrounds, that's another zoning category that needs to be rewritten. Is that
yes.
on any list somewhere? I didn't hear it mentioned, but
I know that you have mentioned it and tasked us with looking at that. We've actually talked about that internally with our planning and zoning staff already to sort of see where we should go with that. So, yes, it's on our radar.
Okay.
Any more questions of the council?
Just one, Mr. President. Bigger picture is how many consultants are we going to reach out to, or have we reached out to?
We haven't reached out to any yet. We will do our normal RFP process, which is simply finalizing the packet and posting the packet on our website, advertising for the solicitation of the proposals from these consultants. I will tell you, based on a discussion like today and then knowing the county is seeking these services, I'm very hopeful that we will get a very strong contribution or solicitation of proposals from local consultants.
I would only ask that Sussex County, as we all know, is very near and dear to all of us, and we want to keep it that way, and that we reach out to folks that aren't just template people, make decisions based on what they've done elsewhere, that we can place a focus on our needs specifically.
Understood. So, yep.
I have a comment. Yeah, I was around when the former planner was brought to the public as far as the doing the comprehensive plan, and I thank you for your openness, for the information, presenting it so well that we all know exactly what's going on. Very open and very professional. Thank you.
Certainly. Segueing into the probably more interesting and a topic of great discussion right now is the current county sign ordinance. And we've had this topic surface in a number of areas recently, I think mostly due to the increase in frequency of the bandit signs that we are seeing throughout the county. There's been a discussion here during county council meetings and a discussion by the Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as we are in receipt of a letter from the Board of Adjustment seeking some input from county council as it relates to the sign ordinance. And that may go as far as requesting the complete change of our county code as it relates to signs or specific amendments to the county code and the sign ordinance. We also intend to have a workshop, which I mentioned previously, with the council, with staff, with planning and zoning and the board and other stakeholders to get feedback on how we should address the sign ordinance. I've asked Mr. Robertson and Lawrence and Janelle to be here as well. If you have any questions or would like to speak up now about some of the issues that you see with our sign ordinance or any direction or perhaps any questions about recommendations from our staff. I know there has been some mention of whether or not we can even institute a sign moratorium currently, and we are prepared to address that question at this time as well. So I'll stop there.
Question to council.
Yeah, question. I'm sorry, but I didn't know if there were what kind of complaints were coming in. I know all I know is my area is Route 1, and there's way too many signs. But what would the county have to do with that?
Well, there's been recent attention to the bandit signs, the roadside signs, temporary signs.
They're getting worse and worse. Mm-hmm.
The county was recently contacted by DelDOT asking about this agreement that we have with the state as it relates to pulling signs from the right-of-way. Mr. Lank provided a letter that was signed by a DelDOT official and a county official back in 2009, both of which we believe don't work for either one of those entities anymore. And I've since been contacted by DelDOT asking us not to pull signs from the state right away. Until we get clarification on both the state's authority and the county's authority as it relates to temporary signs. I was also contacted by the development community and folks that have a stake in this issue, asking to be part of the discussion should the county decide to move forward in regulations of banded signs. And again, I told them that we would probably have a workshop where they would be able to direct their intent at that point.
If they're on my property, I remove them.
Mr. President, may I?
Sure.
Did I hear you correct, Mr. Lawson, state that the state has asked us to not remove any signs because they're uncertain of their authority? Is that what I heard?
If you're on their property.
That's my terminology. They certainly have asked us to stop having county staff pull bandit signs from the state right away. Why they've asked to do this, I think in discussions with the officials, it's because it's just unclear, and a letter dated 2009 between us and the state, sort of a gentleman's agreement, if you will, to allow us to pull signs, is probably not the type of authority that they want to operate under. So I'm thinking that the reason why they've asked us to cease is let's get some clarification and understanding on from both entities as to when and if folks should be pulling signs. They do go out and pull signs in the right of way. They just are unable to keep up with the frequency that you see those illegal signs.
I'm just shocked that 2015, that they don't understand what their authority is or where the line is.
It is their authority. It's on state right.
Yeah, let me, I don't want to couch it as such that they don't understand their authority. I think they want more clarity on how we should operate moving forward. Because clearly they're pulling signs from the state right away now. They're just not able to keep up.
It's not working.
What is the ordinance state this moment as it relates to the bandit signs?
I will ask our director of planning and zoning to address that question.
Come on down.
It's the ordinance. I don't have a copy of the ordinance with me, so I can't be word for word. But the ordinance allows us as county staff to pull signs on bandit signs on private property. Doesn't give us the authority to pull them on state property, which is the state right of way. So we have pulled signs in the last. Well, I can give you some numbers, which may be why the state's questioning it. Since January 1st of this year, we've pulled 1,126 signs.
We meaning the county?
Meaning the county, right? Staff.
On private property.
And on private property and state property.
And state right.
Right.
Okay.
In May alone, on the 3rd, we went out for 4 hours, five staff members, and pull 251 signs. And that was both count private property and state right of way. And then on the 22nd of May, we were only out for 2 hours and only three staff members and pulled 110. Again, state right of way and private property. And we know what areas we have to pull them because they always pop back up in the same place. They typically signs are put up on Friday nights late after we're closed, basically, and they pick them up late Sunday or in the early morning hours of on Monday before we open up again on Monday morning.
And their latest practice is to leave just the stake. They take the
sun. We pull the stakes too. We've had to do that also, but and then they've created a sleeve on the back of the sign now so they don't have to staple them to the post. They just slide them right down on the stakes.
We have to store them, or what are we doing with them?
No, they're disposed of.
Good.
Are we fining anybody?
When we started pulling the signs from the state right-of-way, it's hard to differentiate where the sign is on the state right-of-way because they put them really close to the line, and where the line is, where it's private. So we haven't really fined anybody for the last several months for these signs. We just pull them. The state, I know that the state has told me that they've pulled signs mostly around November, And they were mostly political signs.
Election time.
And because they were too close to the pavement section, or the state law about the pavement section. So there's a fine for that. Like, you can't be within 10 foot of the pavement. So there have been some citing for that, but then the state's done that. We haven't. We didn't feel we could fine people when we're trying to differentiate between, you got 10 or 15 signs in one place, and they kind of meander just a foot or so, but which one's on the state right away, which one's not, because if you go by the pole line, typically the power poles are within a foot or on or off the state right away, so it's really hard to differentiate.
Well, that just shows why we have to work with the state to make any impact on this issue. If we propose to work, if they propose, it, we'll work with us. I mean, I think we're willing to work with them. We've tried in the past. So.
And the agreement that we had with the state, as Mr. Lawson said, it was in 2009, and it was a staff member, county staff member, that made the direct contact with a memo and to the state representative for sign regulations local. And the agreement was that we could pull signs in the state right away. So
here we are.
And then both those gentlemen are retired. So that makes it a little difficult. We don't have anything current up to date that's probably should be signed by council president and Secretary Delda.
A more formal agreement, I think, is what we're looking for.
Sure,
Mr. Early.
That probably could be worked out. So.
Yes, DelDOT's very receptive to coming in when we have these meetings and discussions and asking to be a part of that so that we can actually coordinate and work together.
On the spot.
I will tell you that also relating back to what Mr. Lank just referenced, the fines, the state does fine the folks. It's a very complicated process. They have to take pictures. Mm-hmm. They have to send the pictures and a form letter that says this is where we took the signs. It probably takes longer to process the fine with the pictures and the form letter than it does to go yank the signs, but that's what they have to do for due process. And the stakeholders that are utilizing these signs have told us it is a business decision to put the signs out, know that they will be fined for it, and to pay the fine.
Sure.
So that basically telling me in a very polite way, we're willing to do it and get fined to do it.
Comment. Todd, what I'm sitting here hearing is we've got an agreement. It's not a very good one. We need to tighten that up. Why don't we approach it this way? Why don't we tighten up and work with the state and see if we can get an agreement? Because I see no reason to have a workshop if we're going to continue on with doing what we're doing. I mean, I haven't heard anybody say, we ought to stay out of the bandit sign business or any sign business. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So why don't we get an agreement and then have a public hearing once the agreement is established between the state, then we'll at least have a document in front of us. And then the people on both sides will either be able to agree to things or like things or dislike things, as opposed to just, you know, throwing around a bunch of ideas, and the ideas from the sign people are we like our signs. The ideas from the county and the public is we don't like the signs. So let's get. I think we should get an agreement first, and then take the next step.
Maybe we can work with the state immediately and ask them what their thoughts are moving forward. The one concern about putting an agreement in place, if we end up amending the code, which could affect the agreement, then we've kind of put the cart before the horse a little. But it would be nice to know what the state's willing to do so that if our code reflects that, if it were to be amended, then the code gives us the authority and reflects the agreement that we have with the state.
Well, yeah, an agreement will help us work on the code.
Yes.
I mean, it's just another tool to have. So anyway, I would just say do that first before having a bunch of workshops or a workshop and discussing it, because it's the same issue. We've heard all the pros and cons. I don't think I'd ever hear anything new about signs and the proliferation of.
And the reason
signs.
We want to go through an ordinance, perhaps review. I don't know if it'll be a complete rewrite. Is there are other elements to this that we've covered but not really tackled, such as the banner signs. The banner signs are a new
flag.
Entity. The flag banners. Mm-hmm. We don't really have a definition for them currently. The LED signs, I know there's a pending ordinance right now that hasn't been actually implemented, so off-site and on-site. So there are a couple of things. Instead of just piecemealing it, I thought we should probably tackle signs as a whole. Mm-hmm. That's a bigger bite than just, bandit signs by themselves.
Right, I agree.
And if we get bogged down, then we can always pivot and pick the ones you want to address first.
Well, I'd do the paperwork first, get the draft ordinance, get this MOU with the state, and then we have a public hearing, and then we hear when people see what we're thinking about doing.
Okay.
Can I add, I agree with Mr. Lawson's word, immediate, when it comes to the bandits, because we've just announced that the state's asked us not to take any action on bandits at this time. And I'd hate to count what this weekend's going to be, because it's a holiday weekend coming up.
Mm.
So,
did they say why? They don't want us to take them up?
Not yet.
Well, that was really my question as well, Mr. President, if I may, and that would be to both Mr. Lawson, at both of you, and that would be, why is the state not wanting us to assist in their endeavor to enforce the law?
That's their question.
I mean, that's the question, number one.
Well, we don't have the authority to enforce state law. That's why. And in the agreement, we have no agreement other than some handshake and a wink and a nod from some two retired state officials.
Right,
and that's about all we got. We have nothing, really. So that's why I think they just want to get something that's so if we pull up a sign, we take a somebody sign that they can't get sued or
we have the regulation as it relates to private property.
Right.
Yeah. We do.
I don't have there any regulation in the state right of way.
Yeah, we
the majority of them are going to all be in the state right of way now.
So question two then is, therefore, why is the state of Delaware not enforcing their own? Why are they not doing it themselves?
I don't know that they have an appropriate regulation.
That's true.
And that's what they say of themselves.
Well, it comes down to, cost-benefit analysis, too, of how much it costs to send a person out and the fines they get from it and staffing. And they're sending them on the weekends because that's when the signs are out. So it's complicated.
It's pollution. I mean, it really looks like pollution.
Have you heard enough?
I have gotten great direction. As long as the council's comfortable with what they've heard, I think staff can go to work.
I would say you can move forward.
Yes.
Perfect.
Expeditiously.
Go for it.
Excellent.
How about that big word?
Immediately. That's a big
Before
word.
Before the weekend?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And my last item is the County Administrator's Report for June 30th, 2015, item number one. Sussex County invites the public to offer suggestions for the upcoming 2017-2022 Capital Transportation Program request, which the County Council will submit to the Delaware Department of Transportation in September. Residents and property owners with ideas for improving local roads, pedestrian walkways, public transportation, and other related infrastructure and services can go onto the county's website and submit their suggestions. If you visit sussexcountyde.gov and click the Transportation Ideas link on the right side of the main page and fill out a suggestion form, we will review and incorporate this into the county's request list. Submissions will be accepted now through July 24th. The administration will review all suggestions, compile a report to the County Council for their consideration before submitting it to DelDOT in September. Item number two, the Register of Wills office will be closed tomorrow, Wednesday, July 1st, from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. to allow the office to implement its new electronic filing system. The office will reopen at 12:30 p.m., and we apologize for any inconvenience. Item number three, please note, county offices will be closed on Friday, July 3rd, for the Independence Day holiday. In addition, council will not meet on July 7th or 14th. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be held on Tuesday, July 21st. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I have a presentation for you today.
Wow.
Yep.
Sound.
Got some feedback.
But it worked. It came up.
But it came up?
Yeah.
Good job, Gina.
So I have two finance initiatives to discuss with you today, and they are related where they make a county sewer affordable. So So the first initiative is a new septic system relief policy. And then the next one is to continue to make our Sussex County Unified Sewer District official. So moving on to the septic system relief policy. The purpose is to assist residents who were required to install or upgrade a septic system by Denrec, but are now required to connect to Sussex County sewer. So what happens here is, what is happening is someone, a resident goes to Denrec, they get a permit to install a septic system, and then we come in within 5 years and we tell them, fill in your septic system, you now need to contact, you gotta connect to county sewer. So it's kind of putting a financial burden on that resident. So we have no mechanism at this point to help anybody out in the situation. So what we're looking at is to provide monetary relief to a property owner that's paid more than $10,000 to connect to or install a septic system. They've had to install or upgrade their system in the last 5 years. And then the ultimate goal is not to pass the burden on to anybody else. So there's a key to that as well as we're moving forward.
Sorry for the distraction. We think it's the ground on her laptop once we switched over. So if it's too distracting, we can move the presentation to the other laptop. It's up to you. Are you okay, Gina?
Okay. I'm fine.
Okay.
It's okay. So to provide, we are going to set up an application so that we can collect some data, make sure that they would qualify. So the property owner must provide proof of purchase with a description and date and the amount that they paid to install the new septic system. The septic system, again, must be installed within 5 years of the final required Sussex County sewer connection date. And the property owner must stay current on all debts. So we're going to use our clean hands ordinance for this. And we also want to provide proof that the Denrec did provide them a permit to install a new septic system. So this is how the policy would be set up. And just like I said, we didn't want to put a burden on the other sewer users. So the county would defer the system connection charge up to 5 years. That's the large fee that we charge. That's $5,700. So what we would do is we would give them 5 years to pay that, because right now they just spent, thank you, they just spent, say, $25,000 to install the connection, to install the their septic system.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably are still paying that. So we can defer the connection fee. They will still have to pay it. If they sell their property, whoever buys it will have to pay it, but we're going to give them 5 years to pay that fee.
Is that the Connolly group that they're going to have to convert to public sewer, but they already have the lines in, but that wouldn't apply?
No,
to them,
this is different. This is for individual sewer, individual properties that have installed their own sewer system that are costing about $25,000.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. So and we're also going to waive their front footage charge, which is the debt payment, up to 5 years, depending on how long that system's been in there. So if it's been in there 5 years, we'll waive it for 1 year. If it's been in there, they just installed it last year and we're coming in immediately, we'll waive it up to 5 years.
But the grant, is that a gift?
This would be a grant for them.
Meaning like it's a gift.
It's a gift, yeah. Not, what I say.
None of this is means tested, because in the past we've tried to give relief to people who need relief, financially, that is.
So the big when we get to the example, okay. The big charge, the big $5,000, I wouldn't consider that a gift, because they're going to have to pay it at some time. This front footage is a relief for them for up to 5 years, and you're looking at about $700 a year, so maybe $3,500 in total.
What I'm saying is, if we're in a very affluent, expensive neighborhood, and then we're also in, say, low-income neighborhoods, both people, everybody's going to benefit from these. See, I'm always concerned about, you know, government being so generous to everybody across the board. I think that government's here to help people who need help, and financially. So I'm just, that's my question is, this grant would be for, there's no means testing.
There's no means testing in
any of this
one.
Whole program. Okay. That's correct. Okay.
Too bad.
In other words, there is no such thing as a free lunch.
Even Sam Correct. Wilson, with all his money, would benefit if he was in it.
If he had septic, you're sure. If he had sewer.
Because he's loaded.
So
you guys were talking to your microphone.
I just said Sam Wilson's loaded.
All right. So the example here, what I'm saying is a property owner has paid $25,000 to install a new septic system on June 1st. And I'm using a real-time new expansion, which is Route 54. So they're required to connect, and they connect on October 31st, 2018. So we require the owner to abandon the existing on-site sewer, and we will defer the connection fee, which is $5,775, up to 5 years, or if the property is sold before those 5 years, we would collect it because it's a lien on the property. The property owner would not pay front footage for 2 years. Front footage in there is $706 on an average 100 foot, so we're talking $1,412. The property owner will still be required to pay the service charge of $286 a year. Okay, so before moving on to my next part of the presentation, I have a motion to adopt a policy. The policy was in your packet. This would be administered through the engineering department, the utility permits department. And it does not happen very often. I know of one instance with the new expansions that have come on. One person in Angola North had this, but we have no mechanism to help them out at this point. So we need your approval before we can move on to make an exception.
Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I just, again, if somebody had multiple properties, for instance, I'll use Mr. Wilson. If we went out Wilson Road and went to his one of his properties and he has a number of what you get, like, say, units, and he had new septics put in and whatever, would we be so generous that we would waive all those front footage charges for?
Okay, the reason it doesn't happen much is we communicate to DENREC. They're in a 5-year planning study.
But I just, as we go in the future, I know what we've had in the past, but okay. You start a program like this, and I don't know. I just like seeing things means tested. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's any concern with the rest of the council on, mm-hmm. on means testing. But yes. Like I said, people who need help, we should help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they don't need help, why are we helping them?
If that's a consensus, we definitely can put in a income provision.
It's a thought. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you have to you do it today. I don't know if anybody's thought about means testing. And I've just always felt that means testing is a good way to take, you know, and the use of taxpayers' dollars, I guess.
I can tell you from the experience of one person we've heard from that just put in a mound system, mm-hmm. and we're heading that direction. We'll probably have lines in the ground in the next 2 years. So this resident has put out $25,000 to $30,000, and she's informed us that if she's forced to pay off the mound system that she's put in, as well as then pay the county fees for connection, front footage, and then annual, she's not going to be able to afford to stay where she is.
They're the person. So I agree. We help people like that.
That would meet
and
them.
That, you know, the intent of this whole program is the government forced them to put a mound system in, yeah. DENREC, yeah. $25,000 to $30,000, and then the government, Sussex County, comes in, and we're eliminating all the septics in that residence, and then it just so happens this person mm-hmm. struck out because within the last few years, and we're saying less than five, they've had to spend $30,000 to stay in the home because you have to stay in the home to have the septic operate correctly. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole intent. This is not – we didn't intend to do this to have anyone allow them to get a free lunch by any means.
I just, again, raise the issue of means system.
Mr. Wilson?
Are they forced to hook up to our system?
Yes. Oh, yes.
They have 2 years.
Okay. Number two, when you go by that house, and I can take you out here and show you –
Turn your microphone.
Dan, I wish you'd turn your hearing aid up. anyway, when I go by homes and I see these septic systems put in, and they're mound systems, mm-hmm. you can hardly see the top of their home. They have lowered the value of their property. And here we're coming along and making their property much more valuable than it is before. So we're not really as destructive as this thing might come across. And I'm like, George here, is it a gift or is it a waiver? Or what is it? Or why are we in business when people are putting other people's septics in. I think we've done them a favor by putting septic systems in.
There's no doubt
or
that...
Or putting sewer systems, I should say.
Correct. There's no doubt that our service is preferred. The problem is, in the scenario I'm referencing, this lady needs a septic system right now to stay in her house because the one she currently has is failing or has failed. So she's paying $30,000 to put a septic in. We're not going to be there for 2 years. She doesn't have the alternative to live in that house with a failing system for 2 years, so she has to put a system in via the Denerec permit process.
And unfortunately, mound systems don't last very long. I mean, they can last up to 5 years or maybe more or less, but they're not a guarantee either. So we're doing everything for these people. We're guaranteeing once they put that flush their toilet, that thing's going to work, and they don't have to worry about the cleaning bills, taking care of the sludge or anything. So can they afford a septic? If they can afford $30,000, then it should seem like to me they can afford to hook up.
Well, I just think that, and we've had a discussion for a while now, Mr. Lawson. I mean, I understand where Mr. Wilson's coming from. I understand George's means testing, and I'm not opposed to means testing personally if that's what the council chooses to do. But I think in some cases people don't have a choice. They have to, and I would venture to say some people would have to borrow the $30,000, have got cash money. Mm-hmm. So you're paying that loan off. Then here we come along, need $4,000 or $5,000 hook up, you got to pay that. And I mean, I think it's all about being fair. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to a means test personally, but I think that we need to be fair to people. And sometimes that they're in a position that they've got to have a septic, and they choose, they have no choice, they got to put it in. And that money can be pretty astronomical to some people on low income. So I just think it's all about being fair to the public and what's the right thing to do. Not giving anybody a free lunch because they're going to pay it off at some point in time. They're getting a couple years free of the front footage fee. But
it was that word grant that I just saw.
I understand. Like I said, I'm not opposed to a meeting.
And Mike, the other thing is Todd, we used to have, I think that when we were coming into an area with sewer and people had a problem, a holding tank was a viable option because it would be a temporary thing. I think DNREC didn't want to give permits for holding tanks any for long term, but I knew that within a 5-year period, I think wasn't something like that in the old days, Mike?
Not now.
Does it still do it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They still do it?
Yeah.
Okay. So this lady could have had a holding tank,
yeah.
And they are somewhat affordable. I mean, you know you have a holding tank. You know you can control your usage a little bit. But anyway, just some thoughts, means testing. I know the holding tank's out there, and the word grant just worried me a little bit.
I have another.
I certainly like being fair. I believe treating people like I want to be treated. But I don't know if it's fair to go to somebody else that's just as poor as I am or poorer and take their money so I can benefit. And that again, you know, the old motto is, if you don't work, you don't eat. And if you want to flush your toilet, be ready to pay the bill. That's all. That's the way I was raised. I didn't always run down to my neighbor and say, hey, I'll help pay for my system here so I can get a septic system put in. So that's just all. I'm being fair. I'm not trying to say be unfair, but if we're going to charge them money and get them money back, then maybe that might be the direction to go.
I mean, if I understand this correctly, all we're really, if you want to use the word giving, is 2 years of front footage fee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they're paying for the other stuff over a period of time.
It's up to 5 years, depending
how long it would be.
How new that system is.
Yeah. And how many people are going to be involved in this right off the bat?
Just one that I'm aware of. And just like Mike Gizzo said, we do contact DENREC, and they do recommend holding tanks first. But these are situations that maybe a developer's come in and gave us extra money to go in quickly. So we went in quicker than we thought. So it's just with governments approving things. But we have been very proactive. I'm only aware of one case. It's just given us the option to be able to defer a connection fee because we make them pay it immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mr. President, may I just comment? I would think that a couple things. Number one is I know that January 1 of 2014, a law was put into place from Delaware requiring, especially properties that are within 1,000-foot area of the watershed in the county to, number one, be inspected. Number two, Number two would be forcing them to replace them if there's an issue. That's the law, as we all know. And that is to the tune of the new septics regarding this $25,000 number. And it's only when properties are sold, as the... you know, is the criteria, which doesn't make any sense to me, because if there's a real issue, then let's solve the issue. But I really believe that this could potentially be a bigger concern, because a lot of these homes that are in these watersheds that, you know, as we continue to evolve and grow responsibly in the county, I think that this could be a bigger number than one, based on this law that went into effect last year. Which is very impactful, and they do offer financial assistance, short-term loans, that kind of thing. But the other part of this is the question really is, I guess, as it comes down to, is it the litmus test? Do we do that to ensure those who really need it get it, or are we penalizing those who are a success, quote unquote, and have done well? Are we penalizing them too? And I'm just wondering. And also, the other question I would have, Gene, and that is, does this involve commercial, those guys? I think what was just mentioned was maybe residential, but is this also including commercial?
We just put it in as residential.
And maybe we, again, I don't know, look at something regarding commercial. I know there's a lot of small business owners out there. Most recent, the one on 54, as we all know. That's a huge number. $50,000 number for these hookup fees is a big number for a small business guy. And I'm not necessarily advocating grants, but look at options to assist their needs. And I don't know what those answers are, but I just think we ought to look at the commercial piece of this, too, as we move down the path.
Okay, Mr. Jennings, you think you're going to want to come back with an item with means testing, or?
Yes.
Well, is there any consensus to do that? I mean, before we do that, I mean,
sure, that's fine.
Let's just say, is there a consensus to do means testing? Or could somebody show me a reason, or could, Gina, you tell me a reason why we shouldn't maybe means test it? I don't know.
Well,
because you said up to maybe $3,500 could be a grant. I understand the people who need that help. We should help.
Right. And we do means testing.
We could do something with it today if we want, if we don't want to.
Right, and I can set it up just like we do our other grant programs and just apply it on top of this to make sure that there's a need. We check to make sure that there's, they don't have a lot of liquid assets to be able to pay, things like that.
Mike, I don't know about Mike Izzo. Do you have any thoughts on what we're doing here?
Come down to Mike. Yeah.
Because you are,
Mike, come to the mic.
You're the man in charge of sewers.
We generally, when we have a public hearing or we have a referendum vote upcoming, we generally do hear from people who are in this situation. We try to work with DENREC and try to get the information out that we are coming. But routinely, there are people out there, the message doesn't filter through, and they will have gone out and spend the $20,000 on a new septic. If there is some relief for them, it may help us pass a referendum, or it may help us have a general public that's more amenable to expanding or creating a new sewer district. So I do think there's some positive PR which would benefit district formations. And it's probably, I know Gina talks about one in Angola North, but usually when we have these public meetings or public hearings, we usually hear from more than one or two that they're in this particular situation. We can do temporary holding tanks, but there is a price, there's the monthly pumping out fee for that as well. In a lot of cases, we are able to step in. And in some cases, DENREC is reasonable. If they know the district is coming and somebody has a failing septic, we kind of can find that middle ground to do some sort of upgrade just to get them through until sewer is actually available. But it's these folks that have gone out not knowing that sewer is coming and invested in a large system are the ones that are feeling the pain.
Question, Mr. Rizzo.
Okay. Is it consensus to do means testing, and we have her bring it back, or do you?
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
I would say that you know, to be responsible with tax dollars. That's really what this bottom line is. I mean, this is just it's lack of revenue that we're not receiving. It's not like we're spending it, but we're not getting it. Correct, Gina?
Well, it's not. It's within the sewer district, so it would be sewer fees covering this, not taxpayer dollars.
Okay.
Somebody else will pay for it.
Yeah.
Within that district.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else's money.
So I would, at this point in time, it can't hurt to look at the other options as it relates to that, so I would be in favor of that.
Wilson?
Not in favor.
Want to look at the means testing part of it and see?
Better come back.
No guarantees. I mean,
I wouldn't mind looking at it. We can still go back and do it without means testing, but after she came back with this, maybe modifying or having two options.
Could you bring that back to us at our next meeting?
I can.
Would that work?
Yep.
Okay.
That'll work.
We'll do with the means testing or other options and move
forward. Something we ought to look at, I think.
Okay, moving on to the next part of the presentation. This is, I view this more as a formality. I'm requesting to amend our code to reflect the sewer changes that we've been implementing since 2010. County Council approved this approach in 2010 based on the reasons that you'll see here in this slide. So we had brought to Council in 2010 to start creating a unified sewer district, and we have since that time. And you can see the reasons why we did this. Each customer, no matter where you're located, you're receiving the same service. So therefore, you should be charged for the same service. And that's the main part of this. It's standard practice. You're getting sewer from a certain government or entity. Everybody's being charged the same. Economies of scale. This is why I would like to implement this, is because then you can start sharing those funds that are collected somewhere else. And I'll explain why that's important moving forward. It's less complex from an accounting standpoint. It's going to start stabilizing our rates because we'll have more users using the same rate. And it was recommended and endorsed by our consultant at that time. So this here shows what we've done since 2010. And we have made so many changes. We started with 23 funds. That's an accounting term. We had 23 different service charges, 16 connection fee rates, and then we started that operating sewer study at that time. Within the first year, we were able to condense to 3 funds, 8 service charges, and 16 connection fees. We move up to 2014, we did our connection fee study, which is now where we are at this point, going to start implementing that, and we were able to eliminate our connection fees from 16 to 5. So when I bring that slide together, when you go from 2010 to 2016, you can see the dramatic change that we see here in operations that we've moved forward greatly. So these next couple slides, you'll see over time where how we've grown. So we started in Dewey Beach in 1976, and then we started adding all these districts over time. We started with South Coastal, then we had a treatment plant in Long Neck that started building up. West Rehoboth up top, that was also being built up here. And then Dagsboro, Frankfort, we added here. And as you can see, definitely the concentration here, that everything that's been pumped to South Coastal or Neenah-Scruff kept building in. So each of these lines, they're not roads, they're district lines. So each of these lines, as you see, they're different districts. And then the green that I just added have to do with the near-term planning of those districts. So you can quickly see that, you know, over here is West Rehoboth, over here is Inland Bays, over here is South Coastal. We're getting close to a complete loop here. And the key to that here is we've implemented a pump station right about here, I think it is, and from West Rehoboth, so that it will take some of those flows to Inland Bays over here. So now these districts are, this Inland Bays is serving these customers over here. That's why this is important. So what I would like to do is get rid of all those individual lines and create one district so that we are now the Sussex County Unified Sewer District. And to do that, we would, after this meeting, with your approval, is post public notice and adopt the resolution that was in your packet to consolidate. We have 19 official districts, and we have some sub-districts. That's the difference between the 23 and 19. And that's all this will do from a code standpoint. why I'm asking to do this, and it's going to help a lot, is that our connection fees right now, I have to track the capital that is brought in over here. So if somebody in West Rehoboth connects, I collect funds over here that can only be used for this treatment plant. Well, now that we are servicing it over here, it's not fair that all these users over here are paying for this treatment plant when I've got funds here to now have to support this treatment plant. And as we're making those improvements, we should. So over time, I'm not an engineer in any way, but you know, it's very close that I see how this could somehow come around, and maybe we have South Coastal here. So as we get bigger, it just makes more sense to approach this unified. It made sense back then when we had those individuals, but I'm just asking, moving forward, if we could just draw the boundaries of one district.
Got it. Mr. Cole.
I think we had a conversation a while back making the entire county one sewer district, because now you've got what you're doing, a unified district. Does that include Laurel?
Yeah. It would,
okay,
yes.
So your,
it would
your
include
new,
Blades here.
Blades. Or Blades, I mean.
Right.
Blades and Seaford and up there at Ellendale.
Ellendale.
You so you, we're bringing in the western side of the county.
Yes.
Again, we talked before, didn't we, Todd, about making the county a unified, one unified thing. So why
not
are
a district,
we just doing
a,
that at this time?
Not a district, a planning area. And that
county
is
now,
the whole county is now Sussex County planning area. We use the term area, correct?
Is there any advantage to making it one big, I mean, is it, when you say a unified district, we're getting away from the names of districts, or is it?
Well, yeah, we are. But what we have to do is, because we've established these boundaries.
Right.
So all we're doing is taking those boundaries and making one large boundary,
okay,
around here. If we have an expansion over here, it's now just a extension of that Sussex County,
the
unified district. So eventually, say we do have sewer throughout the county, it will be one district. But until you have a referendum or a public hearing, you can't add those people into those boundaries that
the only reason, the only reason I raise it is because when we have the private companies going into areas where we are planning to go ahead, and they, because they can move sometimes a little faster or whatever, or the developers work with them, haven't we kind of anyway, I'm concerned that we're not in the conversations. They go to Dover to get those approvals many times.
Mr. Rizzo, we changed that about a year ago.
Right.
They got to come through the county first.
They have to come through the county to get a CPCN, which is the area. And Vince
okay,
can
so
speak
we do
to
have,
it.
We
legally.
Do have, okay, a
we,
stake
we went
in this.
Through, yes, we went through the process of adopting an ordinance where there's a review by Sussex County, and the planning area map was submitted to the State Public Service Commission showing.
Okay, okay.
So part of the problem with creating a whole countywide sewer district is we wouldn't have the ability to serve the entire county. So that in itself would create more problems.
Well, I know Newcastle County has one district.
Yeah, but they have the ability to essentially serve within a short period of time if they aren't serving the whole thing.
Well, they got that southern part of the county there.
Yeah, we don't have the entire stretch of it for all western Sussex County and other places.
More questions than Mr. Rizzo or Mr. Robertson?
No, I think we're going the right direction. I like this, and I just, the other one is front footage charges. I'd love to see us unify those, because that's the next thing.
We have been talking about that as well.
Or at least look at subdivisions or look at whatever, you know, somehow to bring some fairness to that, because that's all over the place, and that's not equitable.
That's next.
That's a different day.
I understand.
It is on the list. And
I've been hammering this one
Robertson's,
for 20 years.
Robertson,
there's one thing I'd like to see done here. We should call it the Coastal Sewer District. As I look at this map, it's all about coastal. So why
Blades
not just
Blades
why not,
on the coast?
Well, that's so little that it's insignificant.
Or Ellendale.
Sam, we can't do that because airplanes might land there.
There you go. You got the point.
Ms. Jennings, let's keep this thing moving.
Okay, I have a motion. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorize the engineering department to post notices to consolidate Sussex County individual sewer districts to one unified sewer district.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Cole, second. Mrs. Deaver, any questions? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll vote yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Jennings. And we'll see you back in a couple of weeks with the other issue, right?
Thank you.